who does not ever touch Hillel? Why did he leave that go? I mean, so the answer naturally is that God protected him, as I mentioned last week to you with the story of Shammai. But in history, we look for other motives to see how God expresses himself, so to speak, in everyday events. Hurdis made a serious misjudgment with Hillel. His misjudgment was that because Hillel was such a nice guy, that he was not a threat to him. And that therefore the attitude of Hillel was not only one that could be tolerated, it was one that should be encouraged. Until the time of Hillel, the Nesi'im, always with the kings of the Hashmonaim, always had political, in fact even military power. We saw in the confrontation between Shimon ben Shetach and his brother-in-law Alexander Yanai that it was open civil war. The rabbis took on the government head-on. They protested whatever they wished to protest. They fought against them. They had political, diplomatic, military clout. Hillel decided that that would not work, especially it would not work with a madman like Hurdis, and that that would only be a bloodbath. So Hillel withdrew from the fray. He said, in effect, that the task of the Chachamim, the task of the Prushim, was to build the Jewish world from within. And let Hurdis and the Romans and whatever else, let them do whatever they want. There's no use. And that Hurdis, he said, would not prevail anyway. The famous statement that we find in Pirkei Avos of Hillel. Hillel said that he saw a skull floating upon the waters. And when he saw the skull, he said, Al diateft atfuch, v'sof metayfoyich yitufun, because you murdered and drowned and killed, so you also were drowned and killed. And the end will be that those who murdered you, they also will be brought to punishment. They also will drown. In the broader sense, that really was the national policy of Hillel. Hillel said, history has its own retribution. And that evil will not stand. Eventually it falls. And therefore we need not confront it head on. We need not destroy the Jewish people while we're trying to save the Jewish people. And if Hurdis will allow us the freedom to develop and build our own spiritual life, if he will allow us to have the yeshivas and the schools and the Jewish way of life, so then we need not oppose him. We need not oppose him openly. Now that is a new departure. It became the accepted way of life among Jews in the exile. Jews in the exile, again, till our time, were notoriously non-aggressive, passive, bent their heads and let the waves roll over them. As long as they were able to preserve their own identity and their own way of life, as long as they could have their Torah, so they did not interfere in matters of government and matters of policy, and they were more or less a loyal, docile part of the population. Even under terrible, horrendous circumstances, when we get, Amir Tzashem will come to discuss the position of the Jews in Eastern Europe under the Russian Tsar, if there ever was a people that was ripe for rebellion and that was entitled to rebel, it was the Jewish people in Eastern Europe in the late 1700s and in the 1800s. Yet they were not a rebellious lot, because as long as they felt they would somehow survive, so they let it happen. That is the legacy of Hillel. And that's how Hillel treated Hurdis. And and we will see that in the great rebellion against the Romans, which will mark the end of the